Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I'm going to use words, as I always do, to attempt by God's grace and the Spirit's direction to proclaim to you the word from the book called the Bible and the one to whom it points. An ancient book that we in the church insists still holds the most important message human beings can ever hear, even now in 2019. But our world is skeptical, to say the least. I don't need the church, and I don't need the Bible to tell me how to live. There is a refrain echoed and repeated in many streets, neighborhoods, colleges, bars. The church and the Bible seem to be being pushed and pushed to the margins of our society for hundreds of reasons. People, particularly, not necessarily only, but young people, are looking elsewhere for direction in their lives. The survey this past week showed that 25% of Saskatchewanians claim to have no religious affiliation, a figure that was unheard of only a few decades ago. So we ask as we stand here, I ask as I prepare a sermon every week, what can we do with the Word of God these days? An article from a few years back said this: by and large, the people of Generation X, that is, those born between the early 60s and the late 70s, have grown up untouched by institutional religion. If you fit into this category then, and you're sitting here this morning, you are in the minority, and you know that. Their parents stopped worshiping, and so by default did they. On the other hand, Generation Xers are hardwired to popular culture as no other generation before them, and I think the succeeding generations, of course, are as well. Social media, electronic games, music videos, songs, films, TV, cyberspace. But what is fascinating in all of this is how much of this pop culture is full of spiritual themes and images from which they have been shaping nothing less than a new theology, the article says. What they have been doing is creating their own designer spirituality. Again, this is not necessarily new either for us. Then the article zooms in on one particular woman, a 26-year-old kindergarten teacher named Pamela, and asked her how she views the church and the Bible. And her answer is this. She said, "The church is an instructive tool, offering an environment that stimulates all five senses, covering the sensory motor experience, and is not just a book that presents a clear, unambiguous black and white lesson, as in just read the Bible. This book is true, and this is the way things are." And she goes on to say that she is not so much suspicious of the church, but it is for her a stage of her life that she has now left behind. Instead, she says that she has relocated on a different path. In other words, goodbye church. Could she have a point? We have to wonder. After all, with 140 million or so pages under the title Spirituality on the Internet, the question needs to be asked, why limit our spiritual journey to only one book, even if that book is the Bible? This morning, as on every Sunday, we hold up in this place and time not websites or various spiritual paths. We hold up week after week one book. We study it, we read from it, I preach from it. An old book, the Bible, a book that we call God's Word. And yet in the lives of hundreds of thousands of people like Pamela, more and more we hear the question, who needs it? I'll find my own way. Thank you very much. What can we do then? What can we do with the Word of God these days? That's the question. Should we speak of something else? Should we water down our message? Or should we go on the offensive, wave the book in people's faces and tell them they better pay attention or else preach the fear of God into them, as the old timers said? Well, we know that we can't force or nag or guilt our neighbors, our young people, our children into embracing the Bible's message. The question again is, though, what can we do with the Word of God these days? I'd like to offer three directions for us to consider this morning. First, we hold up the Bible as good news. Good news, and as a book of joy. I think too many people still think of the Bible as a dark, dark book, a book that contains nothing but rules and thou shalt not, a book written to make you feel guilty and keep you in line. Some of us older folks remember the old comedian W.C. Fields, that's getting to be a few years ago now, who always said that he was an agnostic. But the story goes that one day he was caught in his dressing room reading a Bible. Embarrassed, Fields snapped the book shut and explained, "I'm just looking for loopholes." You see, old W.C. saw the Bible as a book without joy, not a word to embrace, but to avoid. Contrast this with the people of Israel about 2,500 years ago. In our first lesson this morning, from the little read and little known book of Nehemiah, we read about how Israel was finally allowed to return back to Jerusalem from a 70-year exile in Babylon. And they began to rebuild their city and rebuild their temple, but something was missing. You see, the problem was they had no memory. They had no memory. They'd forgotten who they were and where they'd come from. And then a scroll is found by the priest Ezra. It is the law, the Torah, God's word. And as he stands on the wall and begins to read the scroll, the people do a surprising thing. They begin to weep. They weep because it has been so long since anyone in Israel had heard God's word. And they weep for joy. They weep joyfully because they realize that God had not left them. God has come to them in the word. They have not been abandoned after all. The word brought them joy and they wept. When was the last time you wept over the word of God? I'll never forget one woman who wept openly in my office a while ago, having finally, after many years, finally heard the joyful promise for her that we are saved by grace through faith. She looked at me and said, "I have never heard this before. I always thought I had to be good enough." I think of another anxiety-racked friend shedding a tear as Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount penetrated her heart. "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries, but seek first the kingdom of God." We are people of the book. And this book is a book of joy. Over and over again, it tells a story of God's unfailing and stubborn love for you and me. We need to know these stories. And so regular Bible reading and study must stay at the center of our lives as Christians and as church. The world is desperate to hear of such joy, but we cannot tell what we do not know. What can we do with the Word of God these days? The first thing is we can hold up the Bible as a book of joy. And the second thing is that we can keep Jesus Christ, the living word, at the center of our worship and our life as church. We don't worship the Bible. We worship and follow the living word who is found in the Bible. The living word whose name is Jesus Christ. Luther called the Bible the cradle of Christ for this very reason. We know about all the spiritually hungry people out there, and we are under great pressure to meet the need. Often these hungry people are convinced that what they need is something new or undiscovered, and how tempting it is for us to cave in to their needs, their perceived needs, to water down or wiggle around or put something more appealing on the plate, more entertaining in the center of our life than create Christ Jesus and him crucified for us. The beloved author and pastor Walter Wangerin has something to say about this. He says, you know, in my travels, I've heard sermons of energy and talent in which Jesus was not the central message. We were. Our niceness was. Or how to access the divine within us was. Or feel good about yourself. Or self-esteem was the message. Or else the necessity of justice was the central message. Or the North American need for morality or family values was the message. But not Jesus. Jesus, in fact, was shanghaied to support what the preachers chose as their greater truth. He continues, he says, I don't blame these issues, or nor am I troubled by commitment to them. In themselves they are not bad, but neither do they save. Let them arise from Christ, as Christ is the source of our life and all our goodness. But don't force Christ to arise from them, because this reversal is spiritually dangerous. If we love even good things more than we love the Lord, then we become the lords of us. End of quote. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, if in my preaching and my sermons you hear something other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then you challenge me, please. Call me on it. Make me give an account. For if it is true, then I am not doing my job, and I need to know it. Excuse me. What can we do with the Word of God these days? First, we hold up the Bible as a book of joy. Second, we keep Jesus Christ, the living Word, at the center of our life as the church. And finally, I think the hardest thing of all is we daily invite the living Word to meet us and change us. Do you know the difference between magic and religion? One sociologist has it figured out. He says, with magic, people try to get the gods to perform their will, while in true religion, people try to conform to the will of God. If the Bible contains the living Word who is Jesus, then its purpose is not just to teach us or to guide us, but to change us and transform us into the likeness of Christ. The Word of God is not a tool that we use. It is the call of God in our lives, a call to be remade and reborn under the cross of Christ, so that our world will recognize good news, recognize Jesus Christ in you and I. One of my favorite authors, Marva Don, gives an example of this. She says, children do not need screens of videos and computers so much in Sunday school as they need walking, talking, hugging, caring human beings who incarnate the gospel and a kingdom way of life. Whenever we read or hear or study the Word of God, ask to be transformed, changed, molded into the image of the living Word who is at the center. What can we do with the Word of God these days? We do not need to remake or reinvent or redesign the Bible or Jesus in this modern world of ours. We do need to do what the church has always been called to do, to keep the living Word at the center of our every act, the motive and endurance of all our relationships, the delight with which we rise in the morning, and the peace we enter every night. Our going and our coming, our sitting down, our rising up, and our walking by the way. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one, Him alone. And so we ask the Spirit of God to give us grace and strength to present and proclaim Christ clearly, and let Jesus, the living Word, speak for Himself through the Bible and through us. He can still do it. He can speak to generation X or Y or Z, or as He has spoken to all generations of all time. We hold up the joy of Jesus, the living Word. Weep if you want. Be transformed by Him. Hold up Christ crucified, and then stand back. Stay out of the way. Let Jesus, the living Word, speak for Himself and change us and change our world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.